Man, welcome to Boss.
Thanks, Allie. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I love catching up. This is Boss. Boss is my amazing executive interview series on LinkedIn, also a podcast. I interview my fabulous network to help everyone learn, network, and pay it forward. All the things I wish I had in my 20s, in my 30s. Who is Anne?
Professionally, I am so happy and proud to be a leader in the social impact space. I'm currently heading up the Lululemon Center for Social Impact. I'm the head of social impact and engagement there. I've been in the social impact space now for a couple of decades, which is totally wild, which gets me to the phase of life that I'm also really enjoying, which is this phase of getting older, right? I'm sailing towards 50 in the next year. And honestly, just feeling very centered with where I am right now. I'm a mom, I have two kids, really active in my community here in San Francisco. People light me up, doing all I can for people lights me up. Allie, I know you share those values, and that's why it's so wonderful that you have Boss and you get to create and serve your community in this way.
I love it so much. And we know each other for a while.
It takes me back. We go back to my days at AT&T when I was heading up social innovation as part of the AT&T Foundation team. And you were in an incredible role at General Assembly. We were so happy to support the incredible work that General Assembly did and still does, just really empowering people all across the globe with CS learnings and skills building that ultimately led to really dynamic careers.
That was one of my favorite roles to date, and the impact. I think that probably motivates both of us in everything that we choose and do.
Absolutely.
Speaking of careers,
Absolutely.
how did you get to where you are now? Take me on that journey.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I've had some zigs and zags, and I'm now in a place I swore I never would be again, which is back in the corporate sphere, but we'll get to that. I started off my career in the nonprofit space. I worked for a couple of different public broadcasting stations, and I loved that work so much. I consider that my professional adolescence. I led comms and design with WGBH on the East Coast and at KQED here on the West Coast, and grew my wings there and learned the value of cross-functional work. Early in my career, I found a lot of purpose in going from subject matter to subject matter, where you might be working on a documentary with Jean-Michel Cousteau and something about the weather underground, and then programming for young people. It was just terrific. And I feel like that really set me off on a path of A, really valuing open access to vital information and equity, and B, being in creative spaces. And that led me to work in the public library sphere. Also, just really purpose driven. And then I heard out of the blue one day from a little company you might have heard of, AT&T. And this was, gosh, this was like 15 years ago now. And they were looking to build out their team in California that was focused in on what we now call CSR, what we then called citizenship and sustainability. And I went in and I met with the hiring manager who was terrific. And I just thought, wow, if they're willing to take a chance on somebody like myself who had only had community-based NGO experience, there must be something really amazing happening here. And there was. So I stayed there for 10 years. I very quickly moved from leading incredible work in California to working on the national side of what we did and ultimately leading social innovation for the AT&T Foundation, which led me to amazing people like you. And this was over the period where AT&T acquired DirecTV and merged with WarnerMedia. So it was working with DirecTV, HBO, when the brands were really active consumer-facing brands and companies. It was just a really incredible 10 years. And then early 21, a year into the pandemic, I set out on my own and I started my own consulting company called Upside with the intention of working with a variety of nonprofits and corporates, with corporates to light up their social impact work, with nonprofits to light up their fundraising. There aren't that many people I have found who have gone back and forth between the nonprofit and the corporate sphere. So I just really wanted to share learnings in both of those areas. And I loved that. And for 6 months, I did exactly what I intended to do. And then Lululemon found me, and it really was this match made in heaven. So for about 3 years, I started the Center for Social Impact, which is what they brought me on to do, and did that in a consulting capacity for 3 years. And then we made the decision together, myself and the amazing people at Lululemon, that I would come in-house, which I did as of August 1. That's career in a nutshell.
It's so amazing. And so, from your vantage point, bigger picture, but also specifically focused to what you're doing, what are are those key trends that are shaping the industry today, specifically in the areas of social impact, maybe mental health and wellness? I know we were talking about menopause before. Like, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about so many things. So just specific to Lululemon, and then I'll get to trends. Lululemon, as you may know, as your viewers may know, is such a dynamic company with a very significant global footprint, and its growth has been tremendous, and that growth is not slowing. One of the things I love so much about this work is truly stepping into the causes that we're focused on, which for Lululemon are well-being and mental health. So physical, mental, and social well-being, ultimately leading to mental health outcomes. I'll get back to that in a second. But one of the things I appreciate so much is seeing this through a global lens and really challenging myself and my team to understand global trends, but work with the communities that we serve to ensure that we are providing community-led and community-based interventions and solutions. We work both with partners who are operating at scale, partners like the Girls Opportunity Alliance, their program of the Obama Foundation, partners like PATH, partners like the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the Trevor Project. I could go on and on. And then we also work with 100 very small grassroots organizations every year who are really focused on the direct communities that they're serving all across the globe. The question about trends, I truly hope that that type of model is not just a lark for Lululemon, but really is starting to take off, where there is the realization we've all been focused on scale, I think, for social impact in, for so long. And then we've had, a number of companies that have stepped in to provide solutions for distinct and specific communities. And what I certainly hope is that certain, not all companies, but certain companies with the structure like a Lululemon will be able to fulfill both of those promises, working on the innovative at-scale models, while also really driving these equally, if not more so, innovative solutions at the grassroots level. I just got back from UN General Assembly in New York last week. It has been so exciting to see how elevated the conversation about mental health has become in those past 3 years. At the UN agency level, at the NGO level, I mean, there's wide recognition now that the mental health crisis is one of the leading crises of our time, right? We have 1 in 4 adults across the globe who will experience mental illness at one point in their lives. We have 1 in 7 adolescents currently having an experience of mental illness. And I just learned this from UNICEF, that 1 in 4 young people has a parent or a caregiver at home who is struggling with their mental illness. We're seeing more and more corporate partners come into that space. I think we're really starting to see that groundswell now in mental health. I'm really optimistic about how we can work collaboratively towards these collective impact solutions within this crisis.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I think some of the data that you shared, we either know or we're like, whoa, where did those numbers come from? 92% of employees face mental health challenges impacting their work. 50% of people will experience a disability also at some point in their lives, which is physical and/or mental. A lot of people don't even realize that as well. The numbers are staggering when you think
Yeah,
about it.
they're stunning. They're really stunning.
I also realize as we're talking, because I do love Lululemon as a brand, that I should have. We had a workout on my street earlier this morning, a few hours ago, but I have since showered. But I was wearing my Lululemon pants.
I love that. I was too. I took a run, but I also showered. We do have some really great non-workout gear as well, just loungewear and like blazers. It's real cute.
The athleisure makes me feel mentally healthier as well.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about how at this phase of my career, about how work in social impact and to a certain extent CSR. So let's talk about sustainability, social impact. It's really distinct work, and it's work that by and large, the teams that do it are doing it outside of the comfort zone of the companies that they work for, right? This is not what companies exist to do. Companies tend to exist to sell a product, right? Be it a beautiful hoodie, be it a cloud tool, whatever it might be. So I've been thinking a lot about how working in social impact requires a very unique set of skills. I'm very aware that in order to be effective in social impact, you're not leading through authority, right? You're really leading through influence on very complicated cross-functional projects. So what I would tell my 20-something self is to really bone up on what it means to be a flexible leader who understands what people at all levels of the organization really need to hear to motivate them, how to bring empathy in the work, how to really not necessarily wed yourself to consensus, but just learn through consensus on how to be aware of all elements of a business especially if you're doing something that is not a core competency of a business, in order to ultimately be successful. And then the other idea that I am really interested in, I've really been thinking through the role of charm in leadership, charming people, everybody from Bill Clinton to Jennifer Garner, right? Really looking at where charm is electric for people and where charm can be quite a pitfall for people. I'm really looking at how to employ charm in a professional setting. So those are two things at the top of mind for me right now. Oh,
I'm so fascinated by that conversation. We should definitely go deeper.
I'm
Also,
so glad. Well,
yeah.
I'm telling you so you'll hold me accountable to it. The more I talk about it, the more I have to do it.
You will, yes, 100%. I'm there. One piece of advice for future bosses.
Be flexible.
What do you want to be known for over the next 6 to 12 months?
For being a catalyst for social impact, not just at Lululemon, but all across fashion and performance. There's so much that we can do. I really want to be a catalyst for this work. And I always want to be a catalyst for my team. I just want to keep lighting up my team.
How can I help you to pay it forward on something?
Oh, Allie, you're so wonderful. You always help. You're just such a wonderful connecting presence. Just keep making connections. You're watching Boss with Allie Levitan.
And finally, anything else that you want to say or share with me to close out this amazing LinkedIn, boss, and now podcast interview?
Yay! Oh, Allie, I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate the voices that you've brought forward. I love being in this time and space. It feels like we're really redefining what it is to be a boss, and I appreciate you giving us this platform and making this possible and being such a boss yourself. So thank you.
I love it. Everyone should be watching, sharing, commenting, telling your friends, buying Lululemon, especially with all the great things that
Why
everyone that you're
not?
seeing. And can't wait to see everyone again soon. Bye.